It's time for Let's Talk Legal with your hosts, Cecil Harvell and Wes Collins from the law firm of Harvell & Collins. If you've got a legal question, they can give you the answer. Call now, 1-800-818-2255, and let's talk legal.
And Cecil Harvell and Wes Collins are with us here today. Good morning, gentlemen.
Good morning, Ben.
Good to have you here after the
holiday. Absolutely. Happy 4th.
Yes. And so what are we talking about today?
Ben, last week we discussed maintaining the integrity, the safekeeping, if you will, of
right.
your last will and testament.
Mm-hmm.
We discussed how at our law firm we have a vault system in place where you are able to, as a client, you're able to keep your original documents within that vault system.
Mm-hmm.
It's very important that the original that people understand the importance of the original. You know, if you mark on your original, you know, a change that you want to make, this can be deemed to be, you know, a revocation or confusion in the, you know, on the will, on the face of the will. What does that mean? And this is not, so this is why it's important not to keep the original will necessarily at home, you know, where just anyone can, you know, have access to it. Also, we've had cases where folks say that they know that they had their original will at home, and then lo and behold, you know, it can't be located at the
right.
time. It can't
right.
be found. And maybe potentially someone didn't like what it happened, what the will said.
It was conveniently
misplaced or mislocated. Now, so where do you keep it? If you can't keep it at your lawyer's office, if they don't have a system in place to a vault system in place, then probably the best place to keep it is in a lockbox, at home or either a safety deposit box.
Mm-hmm.
A safety deposit box is just fine.
Mm-hmm.
You can get into the boxes now at the various banks.
It's a change in the last decade.
There's been a change in the law so that you are able to get there in order to obtain the will. Now, if for some reason you cannot find, we talked about last week, the original will, all efforts have been made to try to find it, but you have a conforming photostatic copy, and this is a copy that would, you know, would have photographed the signature, the signatures of the witnesses, the
mm-hmm.
notary seal, the entire document has been photographed,
right.
photographic copy,
right.
not a copy of something that was a draft
mm-hmm.
that was about to be signed or was going to be signed,
mm-hmm.
but a photostatic copy of a document that was actually executed, signed, notarized, witnessed. Then certainly there's a procedure whereby we can attempt to lay the foundation before the clerk of court that the original will was lost, misplaced, in a fire, in a move, those kinds of things, and that really this photostatic copy does reflect the last will and testament of the testator. And so we can attempt to go that route. I'll let Wes chime in here a bit, but there's some problems with that, Ben. You
mm-hmm.
know, I mean, one of the things, and then again, I'm going to get Wes in here. And one of the things that just comes to mind for me right off is, you know, is it really the last will and testament, you see?
Mm-hmm.
Because it isn't the original. Did the testator take the original and tear it up?
Yeah. Right, right.
I mean, you know, did they go somewhere else and get another last will and testament? I mean, there's got to be some testimony. There's got to be some evidence that you know, this is a photostatic copy, Madam Clerk or Mr. Clerk, but it is the last will and testament of the testator,
mm-hmm.
even though it is a photostatic copy. You know, it still has the integrity of that. You know, where is no evidence that the testator changed it, that he destroyed it, that he went and got a different will.
But the clerk is the final arbiter.
That's right.
Right.
Absolutely.
right? And so, so they may not accept that. But you have to continually offer evidence about that, right?
That's right. I mean, you know, you compare the two issues, the two possibilities. Number one, we have an original will. Mm-hmm. Well, it's an easy process to put that on record.
Mm-hmm.
If all the bells and whistles with regard to the legal formality necessary for the will are there on the face of it, then it will be accepted if it's the original. And then, in the event we don't have that, then we're forced into, as we spoke a little bit about last week, the petition for probate of mm-hmm. a lost will.
Right.
And again, it's a, as I mentioned last week, you know, it is basically a mini trial. You know, you're putting on evidence
that there was one.
That's right. I mean, well, the other side is going to potentially mm-hmm. say that there, it was revoked
mm-hmm.
or maybe they have a disinterested witness who would come forward and say that the testator said something about his intent to revoke it or saw him tear it up or mm-hmm. saw him put an X through it,
you right.
know, saw
right.
him
right.
do something that would indicate some kind of action, that would suggest that mm-hmm. his intent was to revoke it. Now, maybe this person, this witness, just happens to be the best friend of the person who wants the will to be revoked.
Yes, that's right. So
but
not
we have a problem here.
Party.
The man is no longer with us.
Yes, right.
We don't have the, you know, it's coming from the horse's mouth. The horse is not with us anymore.
Right.
You know, we don't have the testator. So we get into that conflict, of course, battle of witnesses sometimes. So avoid that process. Don't lose your original.
Mm-hmm.
Keep it somewhere safe. And it's not just a process of only keeping it somewhere safe, because Cecil and I see this fairly often where you have someone who's gotten up in age and, you know, maybe they can't really keep up with their things as well as they used to be able to.
Right.
And, you know, if a family member finds that original will in the house, for example,
mm-hmm.
and maybe doesn't like what it says, then maybe they decide to destroy it themselves.
Right. Okay.
Because in the event there's not a will, maybe they're better off financially once this person dies.
Hmm.
We don't like for the wills to be in the house, you know, in the family Bible, in the, you know, filing cabinet. We like for it to be, you know, somewhere, a safe deposit box that only you have access to.
Right.
Your attorney's vault system.
Mm-hmm.
Something like that. So
can
that
can it be filed ahead of time at the courthouse?
It can be.
Yes,
yeah, so it's a safekeeping type mm-hmm. thing, where the clerk of court, the courthouse, they do have basically the ability to take it and file it for you.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not just a matter of, you know, losing it or forgetting where you put it. Sometimes we have folks with nefarious intent who
sure.
are trying to improve mm-hmm. their position in the estate. Therefore, maybe when the person, the older person, the testator, is in poor condition and can't really oversee his or her documents, they take it. Or maybe even after the person's just died.
Mm-hmm.
Person's died. I'm getting into the house. I'm going to go through the house.
Found
I find it. Oh, I don't like this.
Mm-hmm.
I think I'll be better off if there wasn't a will, or that old will treated me a lot better.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to get rid of this one. You know, I mean,
that's
we
amazing,
deal with
yeah.
those kind of things. It's,
yeah. it's hard to think of that, but that's once get greed involved, it's,
it happens.
Everything's out the window.
It happens.
Yeah.
So the process, again, we file the petition. We give everyone notice who has, you know, the right to take under the will or under intestacy in the event mm-hmm. there wasn't a will or named in a previous will. Anyone who would be interested. And then we move forward with regard to a hearing before the clerk, and, you know, evidence is put on both sides, and the clerk makes a yeah. determination.
Back on the idea of the of evidence and also the existence of the real will or copies, how much has technology changed that over the time that we've been talking together? How much?
Actually, very, very, very little.
Really?
Okay.
Law
I
is
mean,
lagging behind in that area,
yeah,
I would say.
Yeah. I mean, it is true that, you know, that form, last wills and testaments can be located on the internet.
Mm-hmm.
They can be printed out, fill in the blank, if
mm-hmm.
you will.
There's no centralized filing place.
No, that's
like electronic.
That is all out there.
Yeah.
Okay. But in terms of there being, you know, an electronic will that we lawyers can prepare.
Mm-hmm.
And under the laws of the state of North Carolina, find that to be valid and enforceable. That law does not exist.
Mm-hmm.
We are still dealing under the common law of, you know, a holographic will, which is all in the handwriting of the testator. Therefore, we recognize the handwriting. Therefore, the will has a lot of integrity because there are witnesses that come forward and say, absolutely, that's my mother's handwriting. And she wrote the entire will from beginning to end, holographic will. Attested written will, again, that's usually a typewritten will that is then witnessed by two witnesses signed by the testator. And if it's under notary, then it's self-proving in terms of the fact that the witnesses do not have to be located. And then, of course, there's still recognition of the nuncupative or the verbal will under very extreme circumstances.
Yeah, very, very particular
kind of known
circumstances.
As the soldier's will,
if
you will. But there is no statute on the enforceability of an electronic will.
Okay, more to come in a moment here on Let's Talk Legal. You're invited to call us if you like and ask your questions too, and we'll be back in a moment. Hey, welcome back here on Coastal Daybreak on the Talk Station FM 107 at AM 1240, and thanks for joining us here today. Let's Talk Legal every Tuesday morning with Harvell and Collins, attorneys at law, and you can call in with your question at 800-818-2255 or these local numbers.
247-7282 or 353-4674.
We're talking about wills and the efficacy of them and how to prove them,
now,
et cetera.
Now, Ben, you know, we've spoken about this original will and how under certain circumstances we can proceed to have admitted a very conforming and complete and total photostatic copy. You know, this kind of leads you into the issue of just kind of, you know, the caveat of a will, you know, the challenge of a will, and what are the circumstances under which a will can be challenged. And of course, we're going to talk about that today. We'll talk about that some more next week. But right here, as we're kind of talking about the integrity of the will, you see, this is also a place where someone could come forward and say, well, you know, that's not the will. We realize that that's a photostatic copy, or that is even the original, but there's another will. We challenge that is the last will and testament. We want to file a caveat saying that we challenge the document in and of itself on its face. It's not my father's last will and testament. There's another last will and testament. There's a more recent one, or that is not what my father, coerced him into signing that document. That's not his will. That's not what was discussed by this family, when he had discussions with me, you know, before his death as to how property was to be divided. You know, this is not his will. This is not his testament. So you can see that these are kind of, you know, two sides of the same coin that we're kind of leading into a bit.
Do you ever find that wills are, besides a caveat that is challenging the will on its face, the entire will, that maybe provisions within the will are challenged? I mean, can you parse that out that much, or does that executor hold pretty much all the strings in that?
Well, you can certainly challenge the language in the document if it is
muddy,
or if it's ambiguous in some way. But that would not be under a will caveat. I mean, we have, you know, a couple of cases in our office right now, I would say, where I think the wills were very poorly drafted, and we're having a little bit of a hard time interpreting what was meant by the testator in the documents. Now, depending on the circumstances, you know, you could certainly file an action in Superior Court for a declaratory judgment for the court to make a declaration as to what was truly meant by the document. You know, we do that occasionally as it relates to wills. Sometimes we have to do that with regard to trust documents.
Right.
If there's some problem in the drafting that needs to be clarified. But that is not a will caveat. Will caveat is going to be a challenge to the will after the testator has died and the script has been put on record, and the petition for, you know, the caveat is then filed, and then we're challenging that document. You know, usually is something like lack of capacity, mm-hmm. undue influence.
Right.
Could be, you know, an issue like failure to adhere to formalities. Maybe there's a witness problem. Maybe one of the witnesses is an interested witness, someone who takes under the will, therefore exactly. they're out. You know, it could be, you know, these type of issues. But a will caveat is an all or nothing proposition. The jury on that case, on will caveat cases, is not going to have the opportunity to keep part in and part right. out. You know, that it's either the will or it's not the will.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know,
you have mentioned mm-hmm. though before that you may have a will, say, that's marked up, or you may have competing wills.
Right.
That one may not totally eliminate the previous will. And then you have to read through the two together.
You know, it gets really messy when we have original will documents that have modifications made on their face in writing. Mm-hmm. You know, we see that sometimes. And, you know, even in law school, there's lots of cases in instruction. You spend a week or so in law school dealing with how to interpret all those kind of issues.
Mm-hmm.
And it does get messy, and it's very much based on whatever the particular circumstances are. But, you know, for example, you could have, you know, a valid will, prepared by an attorney, two witnesses, notarized, acknowledged, the whole thing, and then it's marked through. Maybe some mm-hmm. a person's name is marked out and something's written in, and all that is on the document, and that's really all there is on the document. Well, you are probably going to be in a position in interpreting that where all of the handwriting on that document
mm-hmm.
is nothing.
Mm-hmm.
But if it's marked through and then the person signs it again.
Right.
Then but doesn't to. Revoke, doesn't say I revoked the previous will. Then what you're left trying to do is you really got two wills.
Mm-hmm.
You've got the original underlying will and you then you have the holographic will.
Yeah. Right.
And you're trying to interpret what is meant. My request, don't do that.
All right. Todd in Pollocksville with a question for us. Hi, Todd.
Good morning, sir. How are you all doing?
We're doing well.
Good. I just wanted to call and say thank you for some guidance that you guys gave me about a year ago this time to one of my family members.
Mm-hmm.
It was invaluable, and I know you don't get a lot of calls thanking you for guidance, but I just wanted to let you know that I'm very appreciative of it.
Well, thank you, Todd.
Thanks,
I'm sure they appreciate it.
Thank you very much, Todd.
Quite welcome.
We appreciate that.
All right, thanks for calling there, too. That's good to hear. That's good to hear. And we're going to take a short break. We'll come back in just a moment and wrap it up here. Again, talking about wills, and I want to ask about what if somebody adds a page? What happens then?
A mess.
We'll get to that in a moment here on Coastal Daybreak and Let's Talk Legal with Harbell and Collins. Hey, welcome back here on Coastal Daybreak on the Talk Station, FM 107 and AM 1240. And, we're talking with Cecil Harbell and Wes Collins about wills, and say somebody has their original will, but they want to add something to that. So they write another page and they have a witness.
Give me some detail here, Ben. I mean, is it signed? Is it all in their handwriting? Are there witnesses? Or?
They type it out.
Okay.
And then they sign it and have it witnessed and add another page.
By two witnesses.
Yeah.
Disinterested witnesses.
Right.
Okay, not notarized, just witnessed.
Well, yeah, just witnessed.
Okay, well, what we'll do then is, since it's not self-proving, we have to get self-proving affidavits.
The witnesses.
Yeah, from the witnesses, and put those on record with the
court. Okay, well, say they had it notarized,
too. And then what we have is we have two separate wills, and we're trying to read those together.
Right.
So you can't just add two without the formality of it. You've got to breathe that life into it, and you breathe the life into it by following the statutory formality for signing it, having it witnessed, notary if you want it to be self-proving.
Mm-hmm.
You know, these type
of
things.
It's known as the equal dignity rule.
Oh, interesting.
That's
okay.
What it's...
Yeah.
That's what you call it on the bar exam, the equal dignity rule. And the second document has got to be of the same dignity as the original document.
Mm.
Okay. And then, of course, you've got to then read both of them, as Wes was just saying, and attempt to put the meaning together, of the testator, the true intent, based on, you know, both documents.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. This is not, you know, a lawyer's, best file. This is not an easy file when someone does that.
Mm-hmm.
A better procedure is to just simply, you know, start from the very beginning and put forth your intention, put forth your disposition of your estate, have it appropriately witnessed, appropriately notarized, signed, and have, you know, one document
mm-hmm.
that clearly and concisely sets forth your intention. This, of course, is what is going to, you know, allow an estate to go very smoothly.
But again, now all that needs to be done with careful advice, and you know, Ben, often the advice will be
so
different.
We're running out of time. Yeah. There's so many issues next week we need to continue to talk about. But you know, the reason someone might do what you were saying mm-hmm. that we, you know, add a page
mm-hmm.
is because they're so afraid they're going to get charged, you know, $85 by a lawyer or something like that. You see, and I don't mean to be, you know, coy here in any way, but what I mean is that, you know, let's do it right and do it right all along, because if we make a mistake trying to save a little bit of professional cost,
yes.
then we could create an issue that could cost thousands and thousands of dollars.
Right.
Okay. If you then have got to have, you know, multiple attorney firms involved in the interpretation of a provision of a will.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it's the old adage, you know, the same with any kind of professional cost. You know, if we go to the dentist just every 6 months and get our teeth cleaned, then maybe we won't have, you know, a major dental episode that mm-hmm. cost us, you know, thousands of dollars. The same with good lawyering. You know, go for those checkups, look at your document, make sure it's exactly as you want it to be. If you want to change, if you need to make a change, then go back to your lawyer and have your attorney do it.
Yeah. How often do you want to have your clients review their wills?
Well, we say every, you know, at least every 5 to 7 years,
mm-hmm.
And unless there's a change of circumstance.
A major life change,
yeah.
Okay. And again, those are the things that, reasons why you call on Harvell and Collins and get that advice too, is that just don't write on the will. That's, as you said,
please.
Don't write on it.
Don't do that.
Yeah.
Please.
And if you want to get that advice, you want to call on the folks at Harvell and Collins Attorneys at Law, you can reach them online at harvellandcollins.com. You can also, find their email addresses there as well too. And also, give them a call and make that appointment at 252-726-9050. They're 1107 Bridges Street in Morehead City. The right advice at the right time from Harvell and Collins Attorneys at Law, bring you Let's Talk Legal every Tuesday morning. We'll have more to come in a moment on Coastal Daybreak. Right.